Order, order. Select committee report.
A proposed law that would see compensation for mistreated prisoners paid out instead to their victims has been criticised by the Chief Ombudsman, Dame Beverly Wakeham.
In this legislation, a victim's chance for compensation is effectively dependent on his or her abuser being abused in turn, and the victim is then reliant on the abused prisoner making a claim for compensation that the prisoner knows they will likely never receive or only receive in part. And I think we would be far better to focus on a better regime for compensation of victims of crime generally than to make one dependent on the other.
Appearing before a parliamentary committee for the second week in a row, Dame Beverly said the proposed law change was unfair on prisoners too.
People convicted of a criminal offence, the punishment for that is deprivation of their liberty. While they may forfeit their civil rights under these circumstances, they certainly don't forfeit their human rights. Leaving aside the crimes they may have committed, if they have been treated in prison under the care of the state in an unlawful manner, or in a manner which, if it had occurred outside the prison, would be a criminal offence, then they have rights which must be protected.
And the Chief Ombudsman said there could be other unintended consequences.
But it sends a message to prisoners that really the justice system in New Zealand is retributive, and an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, and I'm on my own, mate. So what incentive have I got to participate and engage inside prison in reintegrative and rehabilitation programs if I am denied justice? And I think that has downstream effects for when they're released and come to a neighbourhood to live near us. I'd rather they were in a better frame of mind than the downstream effect of this kind of retributive and I think unreasonable, unlawful and probably pernicious proposition were to proceed.
Chief Ombudsman Dame Beverly Wakeham making a submission on the Prisoners and Victims Claims, Continuation and Reform Amendment Bill to the Justice and Electoral Committee. Elsewhere this week, there were more submissions on the proposed framework for charter schools. Representing the Victoria University Students Association was its education officer, Gemma Swan.
We believe that graduates will not receive fair employment opportunities in charter schools. Our students are already in a competitive pool in regard to graduate job selection and usually are not chosen over teachers with experience. Furthermore, with so little jobs in the market as it is, graduates may be treated poorly because of their experience and given extra responsibility, which then has a major impact on their wellbeing.
Ms Swan said this would affect school children too.
Charter schools lower the educational conditions for everyone. This is exploitation to our young graduates, we believe, and we cannot have beginning teachers burn out after 2 years in their first job.
Victoria University Students Association Education Officer Gemma Swan. Another submission came from Post Primary Teachers Association President Angela Roberts.
If the ACT Party and its wealthy backers really believe they have the silver bullet for addressing educational underachievement, then they should have the confidence to fund the experiment themselves, not demand full taxpayer funding while trying to evade accountability for the spending of it. If they were really feeling philanthropic, surely they would share the silver bullet with the rest of us for free.
PPTA President Angela Roberts making a submission on the Education Amendment Bill, the framework for partnership or charter schools. And finally this week, an inquiry into the operations of the country's sports doping watchdog saw MPs quizzing Drug-Free Sport New Zealand Chief Executive Graham Steele. He told MPs all was being done to ensure Kiwi athletes weren't at risk of accidental doping.
For example, we know athletes travelling to China just need to be a little bit careful about some of the food they eat because it can be clenbuterol in it. Those kinds of things. So that information is flowing to them. We had contact from a rugby team about to go there shortly. They contacted us and we gave them the information around that. So there are particular things they need to be careful of, and yes, we try to get that information to them.
And there were other safeguards too.
All of those athletes should have a little card that sits in their wallet that they can refer to about common medication. So they're at a friend's place, they've got a headache, there's something in the pill cabinet there, can I take it or not? There's actually a reference right there. There's an 0800 number they can ring. There's a text service. If they text Panadol to a number, it will come back permitted in sport. So there are, in terms of medications, there are a variety of ways, and I would argue sufficient ways for athletes to adequately control that.
Drug-Free Sport New Zealand Chief Executive Graham Steele speaking to the Government Administration Committee. That was one of 18 Select Committee meetings held this week. I'm Rhys Lyon reporting for ParliamentToday.co.nz with funding from the Office of the Clerk.